Vibranium, the only cure for this society, is to burn its flames and their anxiety. We're gonna burn it down, burn it down. We are the inferno, burn on the world in a blaze of fire. Burn it down, together inferno, burn all the bridges and rise from the dead.
Welcome to Zanzan. I have the pleasure tonight to have with me Mr. Sib Leverman. Hi, Sib.
Hello, hello.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sib, for being with us, for talking with this new Ordenogan album, Final Days. First of all, to all the people that are looking to us, excuse my English. Sometimes I'm going to find my words, I'm more used to make interviews in French, but I do it.
My English is also not the best, so don't worry. It's fine.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you first of all for being with us tonight to speak with us for this new album, Final Days. So, seventh album of Ordenogan.
I think it's the sixth one.
wait. Testimonium. I go in Wikipedia. Testimonium. You tell me if the Wikipedia is wrong.
Wikipedia is a mess. It's not right. No. It's we actually count the history of Ordenogan from 2008 on when the Veil record was released. I mean, there were some people before making music and also under the name Ordenogan. But Wikipedia states we have been founded in 1996. I mean, I was 15 years old and I could barely hold my guitar. And back then, drummer, he just bought his drum kit at that day. So it's basically we were a bunch of kids coming from school, hanging out, eating pizza. And so we really count the history from 2008 on when Veil was released. That was the first record that came out via a record label, and then we had a booking agent and stuff like that. So the professional band that you know now that is has started in 2008.
Okay, tell me, after all this time, before speaking about the album, the first question is, what the difference now between Seb of Orden Organ nowadays, 2021, and the one who was playing with friends and eating pizza and pastas as a garage band?
I mean, I was a lot slimmer back then, although I was eating pizza. I think especially now these times at home that were not really beneficial for most people's health. But yeah, I mean, of course, when we started in, like really started in 2008, it was just a passion to do that. And now it's a passion and my job. So I'm basically doing just Orden Organ or just my studio or both at the same time. But it's both running great. And yeah, I made two hobbies of mine into two jobs. And so, yeah, being a lot more experienced and but still having got the same fun, you know, like the most important thing for me is when we do a record, then that it is it has to be something that I really love. You know, I really want to do that mainly for myself and I have to like it. And so we will just release something once it's like 100%.
Yeah. At that time, was it in your mind, in your spirit, in your dreams that one day you will have six albums with your band?
Yes. I mean, I think it is totally disconnected from the success that Orden Organ has. I do think that even if there were not many people listening to the band, that we would be making records, because this is, like I said, this is what I love to do. And it really, this is really what comes out of me. You know, I really, this is my passion. I want to do this music because this is what I love to do. And so, yeah, I mean, it's great that Orden Organ have grown a lot now and that we can, yeah, that we can live from making music and stuff like that and play all these big shows and big arenas and stuff. But I think I would still be doing that when I still was playing in small clubs also.
Yeah. Everyone that is looking at us can ask question to Seb. Just put your question on the live chat on the YouTube channel. And if you want, you can also make this. Just to crap. Okay, that's it. Okay, if you want. So, final days, must I say.
Yes, finally. Took us a long time. We had to postpone the record a couple of times. I mean, I don't believe in stuff like this, but it almost felt like if somebody didn't want us to get this thing finished. We had so many problems during the recording process. I'm actually not kidding when I say everything that you can imagine that that could go wrong, it went wrong. You know, starting with the drum recordings. No, starting way before. We recorded our last show of the Gunman touring cycle in a saloon of an adventure park called Fort Fun. And this was supposed to be the bonus DVD of the limited digipack of the record that it is now. But we figured that all the audio tracks were corrupted and had to be restored. And that was the real pain in the, you know what I mean. And yeah. So that it started with that. And then we did the drum recordings and I had to go to the music store like 5 days in a row because every day something broke down. I'm not kidding. We broke microphones, stuff like that. He even broke his fucking ride cymbal. I mean, who breaks a ride cymbal? You don't do that. You know, these things last forever. And a lot of stuff, you know, like trying to record guitars. And then there was something wrong with the power grid in my studio. And I had to go into another studio to record guitars. Then I could just work in the nighttime because the studio was booked, obviously. And once I was back and had all the guitars finished, coming back to my studio, of course, all the problems were gone. I mean, of course. So by the time that this COVID thing hit, we were already basically cynical, you know, like saying like, ah, well, and a worldwide pandemic, what else, you know? It's like, and this, of course, made a lot of problems as well, you know, because we couldn't go to the locations that we wanted to. We couldn't work with the people that we wanted to. The actors that we did want to work with did not work. We couldn't shoot the story sequences and all this stuff. And it was a real pain in the... And I'm glad it's finally finished. I got the finished products. I just posted a picture on Facebook today. We got the box sets and everything there. So this time it's real, folks. It will be out 12th of March, so in like 10 days. And I'm really looking forward to that.
These are the final days.
Yeah, you know, funny side note, also maybe in the beginning we thought that we might do a record where every song is about the one or the other way that mankind could find its end. And we started with songs like In the Dawn of the AI, where an artificial intelligence is taking over, or It Is Over, the last track on the record that is about an asteroid impact on Earth. And there was actually a song called December that is about a killer virus that was already written in 2019. And we thought it was not the best thing to put it on the record right now. So highly inappropriate. And so, I mean, music should be some kind of escapism as well. So we didn't want to have people be told the word virus over and over again, because they're hearing that on the news every day right now as well. So I'm sure, I mean, it is a great track. It was one of my favorites, and I'm sure we will release it at a later point, but right now it just felt super wrong to do that.
Yeah, maybe a bonus track, I don't know, next year before before the tour.
Yeah, let's see. When the pandemic is going to be a little bit better, I think there's a lot of hope now with the vaccines coming up and stuff. But yeah, let's see.
Yeah, hope so. You say that everything done wrong by recording and preparing this album. Maybe it's a destiny, it's obvious, because every song speaks about the end of the life on Earth. So maybe something somewhere is going to... is telling you, Sib, don't do that.
Yeah, like I said before, I don't believe in things like that. You know, I'm a pretty scientific guy. So I think if you put it into statistics, it was very almost impossible that it went this way. So like seen from a statistical point of view, the next one should go like absolute perfect. So yeah, let's see.
Hope so. So final days, here it is. So 12th March is going to be on store everywhere, and you can have it, you can buy it.
There is a store where you can buy it right now, because I don't know how it is in France, but in Germany, like most of the stores are closed right now. So if you want to have it, go on Amazon and order it there, or go to the AFM Records shop. They have great deals there as well. So that would be the way to go right now, I think.
Yeah. And the other thing, I spoke about speaking French, but I'm from Tunisia. Do you know Tunisia? Did you come to Tunisia?
I've never been there, but I know about it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you know some Tunisian bands?
No, I don't think so.
If I tell you Miraf?
Ah, I heard about them, yes. Yeah. Okay, but I didn't know they were from there.
Yeah, if I tell you Cartagots?
No.
Okay, so I'll send you some links, okay? So you could know some good Tunisian bands. But we are talking about final days. It's something crazy, because you know, this album, there's everything that can make an album great. You got on every song, there's huge riffs, you know, melodies, a lot of very great melodies, maybe sometimes poppy melodies, and a lot of arrangement. This album, I think you work very hard to make it.
Yes. Yeah, we worked very hard to make that one. That is right. The times were a little bit difficult as well, because we gained a lot of momentum after the Gunmen record was released. I mean, we did our first real headlining tour with the supports Rhapsody of Fire and Unleash the Archers, which are not small bands on their own, actually. So that went great with a lot of sold out shows and stuff, and we really felt the energy and everything was going forward. But even back then, we felt that there might be some problems coming up with our guitar player Toby, who is now on a long vacation, and so that really dragged me down personally. So I'm emotionally, I was in a very, very bad spot. Because we already felt that there might be a change coming, like for the lineup. And I mean, he's a very good friend of mine. And so I really didn't want that to happen. And so it really translated to the writing process of the songs, or let me say about my perception of the songs. Because once we were finished writing all these tracks, I was thinking to myself, this is all total crap. We should put it in the trash can and just throw it away and start all over. And I was very glad that our drummer, Dirk, he came to me and said, you know what, I know it is difficult for you right now. And, you know, the situation with Toby and stuff like that. And you really don't want there is a change or something happening. But believe me, the tracks are really, really good. And we should really try that and produce that and like sing your stuff on that and produce it like you would always do. And he said something like, do your magic on it like you always do. And I'm very, very happy that he convinced me, because now once it's done, I'm actually thinking that is basically the strongest record we've done so far. And actually it's crazy that I get so much so positive response from the press, like you did just a couple of seconds before. Like a lot of people are saying this is like the best record that Ord Nogan has ever done, and I hear stuff like record of the year a lot, you know. So I'm very, very, very happy about that. Yeah.
What came first, Sib? The melodies, the riffs, the structure, the chords of the song. What came first?
It really depends. In my case, as long as I can remember, I have just music in my head, you know. So wherever I am, it's always music. And so I can be walking down the road and there's a melody that comes into my mind, and I'd be like, okay, this would be a nice melody for a chorus or something. Or it can happen that I'm just sitting on the couch, play the guitar, and then there's a riff and you think, oh, this is a nice riff. Or it also happens like quite a lot, actually, that I wake up in the middle of the night and I have dreamed a song, you know, and then I will get up and sit on the computer and record the song. And so you can really say that. I mean, we took different approaches in the last years, like in Ravenhead in 2015, for example. We really started with the choruses first and said, okay, let's write 10 great choruses and then go from there and do the songs. In this case, it was totally different. I mean, the song that you heard in the beginning, Inferno, I think this was the first song that was written. So the first thing that we did with that song was the chorus, actually. Whereas a track like In the Dawn of the AI, we started with a guitar riff and then went like basically chronologically from the guitar riff to the verse, to the bridge. And then we're like, okay, now I guess we need a chorus. And so you try to come up with something like that.
Yeah. Daniel Emmerich is here. Can't wait to hear Final Days. I know the band since 2008. And you are still one of my favorite power metal bands. Lovely greets to Sib from Greifstein in Mittelhessen. Sorry for German pronunciation.
Sounded almost right, actually. Yeah.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, greetings back.
But, you know, when I see this, you know, power metal now is there's a lot of very, very, very good power metal bands, you know. Making an album today of power metal needs to make something very great because the pressure is high. How can you make the difference?
In our case, I never felt any pressure at all. Because like I said before, this is what I basically do for myself. Ordnungan is making some money for a lot of different people right now. So I think it is like some sort commercial, if you want. But I never viewed Ordnungan as a commercial product, if that makes any sense for you. So it is basically just what I want to do, my expression, my art, you know. I really never really thought about stuff like that, like how can I make a difference on other bands or whatever. Actually, like two side notes to that, I am personally not a big power metal fan at all, you know. If I sit down and listen to music or if I get in the car, I will be most likely playing some old school British death metal like Bolt Throw or Benediction or stuff like that, Napalm Death. That is more my thing. Asphyx, I mixed the latest Asphyx record, Necrosaurus. Great record, by the way, you should check it out. But I think if you would phrase the question differently, what makes the difference being Ordnungan to other power metal bands? I don't really view Ordnungan as being a power metal band. I think it is the most similar to being power metal, so people describe it as that, and this is fine for me. But I think it really transcends the borders of being power metal. So Ordnungan would not be the first band that comes into your mind when you say power metal. The thing is, I am actually, from my writing, I think I'm a lot more influenced. I actually can remember the situation that led to me making this kind of music. It was when I was very young and I was listening to Blackened from Metallica on Justice for All. And I was thinking to myself, man, this is great. You have like these really great sounding guitar riffs, and Hetfield is singing like in this mid-range voice. And I really loved that because I was never into these super high-pitched power metal screams. I mean, I can do it, and I do it in certain spots on the Ordnungan records, but it's not my expression. You know, I don't think it's what really fits the best way. So I'm singing more in this mid-range voice as well. And the only thing that I disliked about the Blackened track was that it starts with this super great melodic intro guitars, and then they don't appear again in the song. And I was thinking to myself when I was very little, I was thinking to myself, they should have put that again in as a chorus, you know. And so I basically think that is what I made then later on with Ordnungan, or what we started doing. So I think we're a lot more influenced by Metallica, maybe, when it comes to heavy metal. And like putting all these vocal layers on top, I get a lot of people saying something like, oh, you must be a huge Queen fan or something. I never listened to Queen, you know. I like the band, but it was never my cup of tea. So I really think, you know, my dad, he used to be a singer in a band as well. And he listened to a lot of this 1950s beat music, or 1960s, like bands like The Hollies or something. And so I grew up listening to that stuff. And they are like the true kings of vocal harmonies, because that was sung live with many people in the studio. And they really could do that and pull that off live, you know, and not just in the studio. And so I listened to that since I was very, very little. And if you're a guy who's got just music in his head anyway, then I think it was my biggest influence. So I just combined these two things into Ordnungan, I guess. Yeah.
I understand now why the melodies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. The 60s. That's it. The Hollies and things like that, very good choice. Obviously, when I said about comparison, it was artistically and not commercially. The difference, in an artistic way.
Yeah.
So you produced your album, Final Days. it's, I think, you did it great. It's not the first time you did it, even in the previous album, Gunman. But isn't it a risk to produce your own album? Because when you have a producer, he can give you, you know, an outside critic, an outside advice.
I get what you mean, but in our case, I don't think it would work in a different way. The thing is, I mean, I started this whole mixing, engineering, producing stuff because I wanted to translate my musical vision into an audible reality. So I was really sitting down, learning the craft to be able to realize and make like listenable music from what I have in my head. And so for the most time, I mean, there are songs that just will, during the writing process, that will just take you to another place and then that you will just have to keep developing. But for the most part, I actually know before how I think it should sound. And I think the only real, I mean, one of the most important things is that you understand if something does not work. I think that is like the highest risk. That you will, that you are basically married to an idea and want to put it in, and you record it, and it doesn't sound great, and you want to keep it in, so you really have to be, you will have to be able to just throw that into the trash can if it doesn't work, you know. So this is what is happening here a lot, you know. I'm in music production. For me, there is no gray. It's just black or white, you know. If it it works or it doesn't work. There is also no what a lot of bands do, or not a lot of producers do, is like this: keep this take, we'll do another one. You know, I just don't keep the take and do another one. The take is great or the take is not great. You know, it works or it doesn't work. It's just these two things. And so, I think the only real problem that I have is like when producing and doing all this stuff. I mean, I was recording a lot of the guitars. Like almost all of it, rhythm guitars, lead guitars, stuff like that. I have to record my own vocals. I recorded the drums. So you're basically like working with that for a very long time. So you can get a little bit tired of doing that because at times the stuff really moves a little bit slow. That is the one thing. And the only thing, the other thing is that, I mean, I'm a perfectionist as well. So when I work with a band like Brainstorm, for example, that they brought me in as being a real producer as well, like working on the tracks with them, and because they said we did so many records and it would be great to have somebody who can also like talk with us about the songs and maybe we can do something better that we don't think of ourselves. So the thing is, when I'm recording, for example, with a singer like Andy B. Frank, who is an amazing singer, and he is doing backing vocals, and you got backing vocal that is like not 100% perfect, but like 80% or something. I will know a lot better that this will work when I put it in the mix, when I'm working with a guy like Andy and be on the mixing desk and doing everything there myself. When I'm working on the Ornogan tracks and recording my own vocals, I will always have in my head that like one of the backing tracks was not, like backing vocals was not perfectly sung, you know? So I will always go back to that and tweak that until it really is really 100%. And this can really take a long time. But on the other hand, for me, it's also part of the fun, you know? We really, Ornogan is, I would say like very, not well produced, but we put a lot of time into it to make the best that we can, and but it's still about people making music. It's just about people making music so often and with so much practice that it is basically flawless in the end. And but I think this is what people also expect from us. I mean, they know it since the early days, and they know how Ornogan is sounding. And I think Final Days is also like from a mixing point of view, it's also the best sounding record that we've done so far.
Yeah. Hey, for all that are listening and looking at us, you can ask questions to Sib. Come on. Put a comment. I remember this is the actuality. Final Days. So, 12th of March, having look, when I saw that you made the production of Rhapsody of Fire, and Rhapsody of Fire, somehow it's, you know, a band that even looks to all the details and try to have things very well produced and very well mixed and lots of idea, lots of arrangement. I think it's when you work for Rhapsody of Fire, you can after do anything. I think no work for anyone. You have the self confidence to produce yourself. I think, isn't it?
I produced Orden Organ since the beginning, so that is out of the question. But you're absolutely right. If you have worked with a band like Rhapsody of Fire, there's basically nothing else coming that can shock you. the guys are great, and Alex absolutely knows what he's doing. So in that case, for example, I am not a producer. I'm just a mixing and mastering engineer because he is the producer. It's the same what I do in Orden Organ. I don't have to tell him throw out this chorus or throw out this part or do this melody in a different way, because he really knows how Rhapsody of Fire should sound like, you know. I'm just there for making things sound great, you know. In terms of songwriting and stuff, like he knows 100% what he's doing, and it's so the only challenge is like if he comes around with 350 tracks of orchestra once again, then I will have to try to somehow make it work with the guitars and drums and everything. And it's a real challenge, but I really love that. You know, it's big fun actually.
Yeah, in final days, you have collaboration with Gus G on the guitar, and I think the. One of the singer of Brother of Metal, Ylva Eriksson. Yeah. How do you mix together? How the idea came?
Like I said before, we are doing Orden Organ basically because we love to do what we do, and so in our case. I really have to say that it was never about finding the biggest names for guests, you know, it was never about name dropping. It was always about what the artist can bring to the table. And I mean, I don't have to speak about Gus G here. I mean, he's phenomenal. He's like one of the best guitar players in the world. That actually came from a funny joke, you know, when we felt in the beginning that we might have some problems with Toby, with our former guitar player. We were just joking around, saying basically, okay, maybe we'll have just to bring someone in to play a guest solo, so then we have got one less to record. And Niels, our back then bass player, now guitar player, he was just saying, yeah, I can ask Gus, because they knew each other. And so I think between this conversation and the final solo, it was just a couple of days. And I mean, it sounds super stupid when I put it like that. I mean, obviously, it's an honor for us to have him on the record. You know, it's like I said, it's a phenomenal guitar player, and it's amazing to have him on the record. So when I got the solo from him and I pulled up the fader, I was actually laughing in the studio, because it was like exactly what I expected. You know, so
wow,
it was like, yeah, okay, this is so him. Great, you know? And it really fit in the song. Otherwise, we wouldn't have asked him, you know. And so that was amazing. Really glad about that. With Ylva, we knew in Alone in the Dark, there had to be a female voice because the song was written from two different perspectives. And we were basically throwing around some names and were thinking about who could do that. And then I think one guy of FM Records suggested Ylva, because they are also on FM, and I've seen them live. I've met her briefly, and I was listening to the songs, and I was listening closely to her voice, and was thinking to myself, if she does that with a real fragile and melancholic voice, that I think that would be like the perfect fit. And so we asked her if she wanted to give it a shot. And when she sent back the tracks, I was totally blown away. I think she totally nailed it. It's the perfect take for the song. And I don't think that any singer in the world could have done that better. Like, maybe differently, but not better. I think it's like the perfect fit for the song.
Yeah. And Buffy Band said, "Can't wait to listen to Alone in the Dark. In the dark. Eva is awesome."
Yeah, I totally agree.
And Matthias Kurth, "How many re-records did you make since the original date of publishing Final Days until now?"
I'm not really sure if I get the question. How many re-recordings did we make since the original date of publish? I mean, the original date of publishing Final Days will be at 12th of March, so in 10 days. And we didn't re-record something, so I don't get the question. Maybe, I mean, Matthias Koch seems to be German. If you're listening, wenn du zuhörst, dann schreib das einfach mal in Deutsch unten drunter, dann verstehe ich, was du meinst.
Maybe you were thinking that, you know, because you began the promotion in November, and maybe the album was postponed until March, so people may think that you made some changes in the album in the meantime. That's it.
I think we were, when the record was announced, we had a lot of rhythm guitars recorded, we had some vocals recorded already, and I think we did drums and the choirs in December 2019 already, and I'm not kidding now. I told you how many throwbacks we've had. There was so much stuff that we had to redo over and over again. I think I listened to the really final version of the mix on December 2020. So it took me like 1 year to get everything in order. And wow. This is why I'm not. And the thing is, you really have to think about that. I'm working full time on that, you know. So it was a lot of stuff that really went wrong, and so.
He answered you in German, but I don't understand. But it's okay. It's for you.
Yes, I think I basically just answered that. Yeah.
Okay. So, hey, Sip, hope you have been doing well. Really love the old and new songs. They all have their own feel in different times. Hope to see you guys play somewhere in Germany soon.
Yeah, we're hoping to play somewhere, like, anywhere in the world soon. I don't know. we just postponed the tour for the third time now. I mean, actually, our Final Days headlining tour. The first issue that was planned was in September 2020 with special guests Gravedigger and Rage. That would have made an amazing German metal package. So maybe we can bring that back on the streets like in the future someday. And then we had to reschedule until April this year and had to take on, not had to, but we wanted to take on Brothers of Metal and Windrose. That makes like a more modern package, but also a great package. Really looking forward to go on tour with these two bands. And now we obviously had to move that to February next year, so 2022. I think this might be realistic. I do think that might work out once more vaccines are rolled out and stuff like that. I'm not really sure how it will work out this year. As for now, I don't see any shows happening, at least not in Germany. I mean, don't get me wrong, this is just what I expect to be to happen. But I'm the first one to jump into the air and say, yeah, we can go on the stages again. Like, I mean, we are missing it maybe even more than you guys do. So.
Yeah, and all the great festivals that are postponed, Hellfest, lots. Fellabeast, really hope Latin America get included in the Final Days tour.
Yeah, also depends on how the situation will develop. And also, we would love to go to Latin America at some point, but from our perspective, it has to be a tour that will really work out for us. And so, yeah, if there are any Latin American promoters who are willing to do that and bring us over there, then we are open for discussion. But so far, as of now, there were some offers. But you know, if you travel a distance like that, you would really like to want to work with a promoter who is really known. You know, like that people know that you can trust him, and not work with like some fan who has never done a show before in his life or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me. Okay, 2020. I think you were you had the head in front of your mixing recording engine to record and mix the album. 2021 until now, it's the promotion. It's the album that's going out. And okay, April 2021. Going to have, I think, because maybe you'll have baby blues, you know, because not being able to go on tour and to promote the album, maybe it will be, you will send emptiness.
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm not a guy who is like that. You know, I'm not crying around because the situation is so bad. I have always been a very pragmatic guy. You know, if we can't go on tour, I will not say, oh my God, we can't go on tour. I will just say, okay, what can we do? So the thing is, obviously, yeah, it is not the best situation, but we're trying to make the best out of it. I mean, I know of, like also in the studio here, I mean, I got a lot of jobs for this year lined up because a lot of bands have been, basically sitting at home and had the time to write new music. But I also had a lot of bands that were canceling their gigs here in, or their recording dates in the studio because they were basically saying it doesn't make any sense for them to release a record now because they can tour. And I personally think that is like the totally wrong approach to do that. You know, like I said before, I wanted to do this record for myself. Of course, we can tour right now, but I mean, there are so many people out there sitting at home in their home offices and having or a lot of people that have even a worse time, you know, like the economy is going down, people are losing their jobs and stuff like that. I don't think there's no point in not releasing the record, you know, because I know there are so many people who are really looking forward to be able to listen to that. And I mean, if we can give people a bit of hope or at least like a bit of a good time, because there are people that really love to listen to your music, I don't see why we shouldn't release that just because we can tour right now. We can tour when we can tour again.
Yeah, pragmatic, very important. And I think the only way to not being, to be positive and to continue, because life is going anyway. Yeah. How is it like to work with Terrazzo again by Buffy Band?
Great question. Terrazzo is a good friend of mine, a guy who was with us in, I don't know, 2002 or something. So in that period of time, what I said, what I would not really consider the Orden Organ that we are now. He's living in the north of Germany, like almost on the North Sea. And so it was, even back then, it was always amazing. He had to go like almost 600 kilometers by car to come to a rehearsal or stuff like that. And yeah, like I said before, we had some problems with Toby in the time, and it didn't really move forward the way it should. And I mean, I can write a record on my own, like completely. I did that almost with To the End, like almost the whole record, for example, was done by me. But I also love working with people. And so I, at a certain point, I just got the idea that I was giving Terrazzo a call, or yeah, former guitar player and a very good friend of mine. And be basically like, you know what, could you imagine like writing songs with me? And he said, for what? And I said, for Orden Organ. And he said, sure, that will be hell of fun. You know, like come here, there were holidays anyway, you know, in the north of Germany. And said, come here for 2 weeks, we sit down and go and eat pizza, and like we did.
Like before.
And play guitars for 2 weeks and do nothing else, you know. And that was amazing. You know, he's a super great guy. He followed the band for all these years, so he really knows how Orden Organ should be sounding like as well. And actually, like a bigger part of In the Dawn of the AI, for example, was written by Terrazzo. Or let me put it like this. I mean, we worked together on that, but it was all based on a lot of ideas that he came up with. And also part of Absolution and also a part of Interstellar, I guess. So three songs that are now on the record. And there was some more stuff that we did the guy is close to being insane, you know, like he's always talking like crap, you know. There's just, once he starts talking, you will really have to start laughing, and this also translates into his way of writing music and dealing with words and stuff like that. So I think like of these 2 weeks we were like 10 days out of 14 days just laughing, you know, and not doing nothing productive, but it was great. It was great. And I don't see why this should be. I thought it was highly beneficial for the band, and I think it's great. I mean, we try to maintain a great relationship to all our former members, and there was no split where there was a lot of hate or something going on. You know, we're a pretty relaxed band. And so it's great that that a guy like Terrazzo, that he had the joy to work on this stuff as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And Matt, I say to you, I totally agree. It's total great if I can listen to new music. Hey, that's obvious. That's very obvious. Siv, thank you very much. Thank you very much for this interview. It was awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me.
And now, what's the project?
Other projects. As for now, we will be releasing the record on March 12th. There will be a live release event as well. We didn't announce that, but we will do in the next couple of days. But it's not a huge, like a live show or something. It's just with a Q&A and stuff like that as well. And we're actually right now also thinking about maybe doing a streaming show. But in that case, I mean, I watched a lot of the streaming shows last year, and a lot of them made me be even more sad that the situation is the way it is. Because if you have a band on a stage that is playing in an empty venue, I mean, I had that for years, playing in empty venues. I don't need to do that and record that again. So if we do that, it will look very different from what other bands have done. We have some cool ideas, but it's not decided yet. And if we go with that, I think we will probably go for a crowdfunding. I actually don't like crowdfundings because I think it's like begging your fans for money. So I would never do that for a regular record because I would be doing these anyway. But in that case, it's more like an offer to the fans. Like if you really want to see that because you haven't seen us live in a long time, then you can go with this crowdfunding as well. And then we can see if we can make it work. And if people are into it and it works out, then it's great. If people are more like, okay, we really want to see you like in real life on the real stages, then it's fine for us as well. I mean, we don't have to do that. It's more like an offer to the fans. And I mean, I would be up for it. I think we have some very, very nice ideas on how to do that, so that it is really enjoyable and not looking like a band in an empty venue. but let's see. We're not there yet. So first of all, the record now.
Yeah, tell me, did you see the Metallica Mondays concert? Metallica last year were during the lockdown playing every Monday night.
And I have seen something where they were at home or so. Is that what you mean, or?
No. They took all every Monday night at 1 a.m. at 1 a.m. Yeah, they broadcasted an old concert entirely. Ah. Mm-hmm. You know, and from different. Okay, they got a lot of materials and.
I wanted to say that they got a lot of material for sure.
Yeah, that's it. I was always wondering why the other bands didn't give the didn't do the same, because it's something it's one way to be close to the fans that can see you on stage by putting some old concert recorded, and all the big festivals, I think they record the concerts.
Yeah, it depends a little bit. You know, it depending from festival to festival, we really have to buy the shows if they were recorded. And it really depends on if you think that what's the right show that you will have to spend additional money on, you know. So in our case, we didn't buy a lot of these shows because we, in a lot of times, thought we will do, if we have something that we want to release, then we will record it ourselves on a single show. And but it really depends. I mean, we released a lot of stuff in the last years. I think there was basically a bonus DVD on each record since To the End with the Wacken, Summer Breeze, what else, you know. I think, yeah, the Wacken show, two times Wacken actually, and Summer Breeze. And so yes, but I don't think it's fair to compare the two, Metallica, because they have a history of like 1 million shows that they have played, and a lot of them being recorded like super professionally. So yeah, it really depends. I don't think that a lot of other bands have that many shows recorded that they can release.
Yeah, in fact, why I say that, because you have fans in all over the world. You know, metalheads are from all over the world, but Odd Nordgren can go and play all over the world. Can go to play, I don't know, North Africa, I don't know, Middle East, maybe Afghanistan or Pakistan, or maybe India. Yeah, right. And you got metal fans in all of the world, you know. And that was the thing that was great with, Metallica Mondays, is that Metallica fans that didn't get the opportunity because going to Europe, it's visa, it's not of money, and you get to pay. They had the opportunity to have to see a concert of Metallica for free. So maybe I think it should be something between bands and record companies to think of the other fans that can afford to pay the tickets to go to see their bands. I'm sure that in your Instagram or your Facebook page, you get messages of fans from all over the world.
Yes, we do. And it's the same from the other side as well. You know, there are a lot of places on this planet where we haven't been so far, and where we would really like to go. But flights and visa and stuff like that, it can be really expensive. So generally speaking, this is why I say, I think a streaming show would be great. And I think we will find a price model that, if you just want to see the show without any extras, that will be affordable for basically everyone in the world. But I personally, I wouldn't want to do that for free. On the one hand, we will have a lot of production costs if we want to do it in a very decent way. And on the other hand, you know, I don't think it's music has a value as well, you know. So it's totally fine to put an older concert on YouTube and stuff like that, but still I think music has value and should be valued as well. I don't think it has to be like overly expensive, but at least like a little
Okay. Of course. Okay, just the last comments and their recordings of the Pirate Cruise. That was the best weekend ever from Buffy.
Yes, we did our own little cruise on a ship here in Germany, and that was with 500 people or so, was sold out within 24 hours, 25 hours, wow. I think it was. A lot of fans were actually upset because they said something like, you know, I was one day, I was not on Facebook, and then you announced this and then it's sold out straight away. And so I really think that we should do that again for the people that that were not able to make that there, maybe make a yearly event out of that as well, because it was really special. It was really great. Yes, there are some recordings, but it was not like a full multicam shot or something like that. But it's a good idea. Like, if we do that again, we should do that with a lot of cameras. So.
Yeah, Matthias said Spirit Cruise was awesome, but Saloon was even better.
Yeah, this is the show that I was basically talking about, that was in this saloon of the Fort Fun Adventure Park. And this is to be found on the live DVD that comes with the Final Days Digipack. And I think we will also release some videos from that, like in the next days before the release, so that people have an impression how it looks.
And last is acoustic album from Christina.
I think all of our records are acoustic. maybe that would be an idea. I had the idea before to do something like that, but right now no plans for that.
Okay, thank you very much, Sib. It was a pleasure. Hope to see you. Hope to see you someday. Someday in Tunisia on concert.
Why not? It would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be awesome. Thank you, and good luck for this album.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a nice evening.
Zanzana, l'émission métal.